Lesson 15, Enduring to the End. Objective, each young man will learn what it means to endure to the end and understand that the hardships of mortality can help us learn. Preparation. 1. Prayerfully study Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 11, and verses 15 and 16, also 22 and 24. Chapter 28, verse 21. Chapter 31, verse 16. Helaman, chapter 6, verses 9 through 17, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 1 through 3, 6 through 8, and section 122, verses 7 and 8. 2. Materials needed. Copies of the standard works. Each young man should bring his own. B. A piece of paper and a pencil for each young man. C. Pencils for marking scriptures. 3. Prepare a poster of 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 16. Suggested lesson development. Introduction. Story. David Merrill stepped off the plane in Tokyo eager to begin his mission. David was slender, clean-cut, and slightly freckled. David was spiritual and had a positive attitude, but otherwise he was an average elder. He had to make the same adjustments to a mission that other elders make. He gradually began to find real joy and success as he humbled himself before the Lord. One day, David noticed that a small growth on his shoulder had enlarged considerably. He went to a doctor to have it checked. He received tragic news in that doctor's office. He had melanoma, a deadly form of cancer. Skilled Japanese surgeons removed the growth, but David was sent home for further surgery, which stripped him of his muscles in his shoulder and neck. Large arteries and veins were also removed, and David suffered great pain as the blood was rerouted to his brain. His recovery was slow and painful, but his will was indomitable. He began to discover just how much spiritual strength he possessed. His only thought was to get back into the mission field. He swam daily in order to increase his physical strength. Finally, he was ready. David felt a great sweeping feeling of victory as he stepped off the airplane, this time in Oregon, where he was to continue his missionary labors. David Merrill completed his mission in Oregon, and a year later, he completed his earthly mission. Chalkboard and lesson. Explain that it may seem that if a young man is on a mission, serving the Lord, he should be protected from all harm and illness. What can we learn from David Merrill's example? Summarize the young men's thoughts on the chalkboard. Writing activity. Distribute the paper and pencils. Ask each young man to write down a conflict, opposition, or problem he is now facing. Explain that no one will see his paper. Suggest that the young men take notes on how they can overcome the problem they wrote down. Opposition in all things. Scripture and chalkboard discussion. Explain that we can better understand why we have suffering and death if we understand the nature and purpose of mortality. Explain that the scriptures tell us why we have suffering and problems. Review what the young men have learned about the fall of Adam. Explain that the fall brought into the world the possibility for opposition or suffering and adversity. Have the young men read 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 11 and 22 through 24. What reasons did Lehi give for the need of opposition in our lives? Without opposition, there would not be righteousness or wickedness, holiness or misery, good or bad. Discuss with the young men why there could be no righteousness, holiness, or good without opposition. Have the young men read the following. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Write the word agency on the chalkboard and ask one of the young men to read verse 16 again. What does opposition have to do with the principle of agency? Without opposition, choice could not be possible. Without choice, there would be no righteousness. Righteousness requires having a choice between good and evil and choosing the good. Innocent suffering brings spiritual growth when we endure with faith. Story. Ask the young men to listen for some of the hardships faced by early church leaders in the following account. Joseph Smith and his five companions were imprisoned in Liberty, Clay County, for a period of 6 months. Here they suffered during that time many untold hardships. Much of the time they were bound in chains. Their food was not often fit to eat, and never wholesome. Several times poison was administered to them in their food, which made them sick nigh unto death. and only the promised blessings of the Lord saved them. Their bed was on the floor or on the flat side of a hewn white oak log, and in this manner they were forced to suffer. Is it any wonder that they cried in the anguish of their souls unto the Lord for relief from such inhuman treatment? Joseph Fielding Smith, Essentials in Church History, page 210. Scriptures and Discussion. Explain that sections 121 and 122 of the Doctrine and Covenants were given to the prophet Joseph Smith while he was a prisoner in Liberty Jail. Read and discuss Doctrine and Covenants section 121 verses 1 through 3 and 6 through 8 and section 122 verses 7 and 8 with the young men. Why did the Lord say he allowed Joseph Smith and the faithful saints to go through so much suffering? Story. In your own words, tell the following story of a young woman who suffered for the gospel's sake. The story is related by President Gordon B. Hinckley. I have often read the words of a 13-year-old girl, my wife's grandmother. Her family was converted in Brighton, England in 1856. They sold their possessions and sailed from Liverpool with 900 others on the vessel Horizon. After 6 weeks at sea, they landed at Boston and then traveled by steam train to Iowa City for fitting out. There they purchased 2 yoke of oxen, 1 yoke of cows, a wagon, and a tent. They were assigned to travel with and assist one of the handcart companies. At Iowa City, their first tragedy also occurred. Their youngest child, less than 2 years of age, suffering from exposure, died and was buried in a grave never again visited by a member of the family. My wife's grandmother, then a 13-year-old girl, wrote of their experiences. We traveled from 15 to 20 miles a day, till we got to the Platte River. We caught up with the handcart companies that day. We watched them cross the river. There were great lumps of ice floating down the river. It was bitter cold. The next morning, there were 14 dead. We went back to camp and had our prayers and sang, "Come, come ye saints, no toil nor labor fear." I wondered what made my mother cry that night. The next morning, my little sister was born. It was the 23rd of September. We named her Edith. She lived 6 weeks and died. She was buried at the last crossing of the Sweetwater. When we arrived at Devil's Gate, it was bitter cold. We left many of our things there. My brother James was as well as he ever was when we went to bed that night. In the morning, he was dead. My feet were frozen, also my brother's and my sister's. It was nothing but snow. We could not drive the pegs in our tents. We did not know what would become of us. Then one night a man came to our camp and told us Brigham Young had sent men and teams to help us. We sang songs, some danced and some cried. My mother never got well. She died between the Little and Big Mountains. She was 43 years of age. We arrived in Salt Lake City 9 o'clock at night, the 11th of December, 1856. 3 out of the 4 that were living were frozen. My mother was dead in the wagon. Early next morning, Brigham Young came. When he saw our condition, our feet frozen and our mother dead, tears rolled down his cheeks. The doctor amputated my toes while the sisters were dressing mother for her grave. That afternoon, she was buried. I have often thought of my mother's words before we left England. "Polly, I want to go to Zion while my children are small so they can be raised in the gospel of Jesus Christ." Mary Goble Pay, Manuscript History in Possession of the Author. We need so very, very much a strong burning of that faith in the living God and in His living resurrected Son, for this was the great moving faith of our gospel forebears. The Faith of the Pioneers, Ensign, July 1984, pages 5 and 6. Explain that Mary Goble Pay went on to raise a large and wonderful family, some of whom became great leaders in the church. Help bring out that those who persecuted and opposed the saints had their agency as well as the saints who embraced and defended the gospel. If we endure opposition well, often the most valuable gospel learning experiences come to us through trials and difficulties. Quotation and discussion. Ask the young men to listen to Elder Spencer W. Kimball's thoughts. The basic gospel law is free agency. To force us to be careful or righteous would be to nullify that fundamental law, and growth would be impossible. Should we be protected always from hardship, pain, suffering, sacrifice, or labor? Should the Lord protect the righteous? Should He immediately punish the wicked? If growth comes from fun and ease and aimless irresponsibility, then why should we ever exert ourselves to work or learn to overcome? Is there not wisdom in His giving us trials that we might rise above them, responsibilities that we might achieve, work to harden our muscles, sorrows to try our souls? Tragedy or Destiny, Brigham Young University Speeches of the Year, 1955, page 2. How can spiritual strength result from trials in our lives? How can experience illness or injury give us compassion? How can personal suffering help strengthen our love for the Savior? It helps us appreciate His suffering for us. By enduring, each of us can overcome sorrow and disappointment. Chalkboard Discussion. Explain that President Ezra Taft Benson gave a talk in General Conference that deals with 12 ways that we can overcome sorrow, disappointment, and depression. Ensign, November 1974, pages 65 to 67. Write each key word on the chalkboard and discuss it, using the quotation as needed. Explain that many problems may require only one or two of these solutions. 1. Repentance. Sin creates disharmony with God and is depressing to the spirit. Every law kept brings a particular blessing. Every law broken brings a particular blight. Those who are heavy laden with despair should come unto the Lord, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. 2. Prayer. Prayer in the hour of need is a great boon. From simple trials to our Gethsemanes, prayer can put us in touch with God, our greatest source of comfort and counsel. 3. Service. To lose yourself in righteous service to others can lift your sights and get your mind off personal problems, or at least put them in proper focus. When you find yourselves a little gloomy, said President Lorenzo Snow, look around you and find somebody that is in a worse plight than yourself. Go to him and find out what the trouble is, then try to remove it with the wisdom which God bestows upon you. And the first thing you know, your gloom is gone. You feel light, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and everything seems illuminated. Conference Report, the 6th of April, 1899, pages 2 and 3. 4. Work. Work is our blessing, not our doom. We should work at taking care of the spiritual, mental, social, and physical needs of ourselves and those whom we are charged to help. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there is plenty of work to do to move toward the kingdom of God. Every member a missionary, family genealogy and temple work, home evenings, receiving a church assignment, and magnifying it are but a few of our required labors. 5. Health. The condition of the physical body can affect the spirit. That's why the Lord gave us the word of wisdom. He also said that we should retire to our beds early and arise early. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 124. Food can affect the mind, and deficiencies in certain elements in the body can promote mental depression. Rest and physical exercise are essential. 6. Reading. Many a man in his hour of trial has turned to the Book of Mormon and been enlightened, enlivened, and comforted. The Psalms in the Old Testament have a special food for the soul of one in distress. The words of the prophets, particularly the living president of the church, are crucial reading and can give direction and comfort in an hour when one is down. 7. Blessing. In a particular stressful time, we can seek for a blessing under the hands of the priesthood. The sacrament will also bless the souls. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 77 and verse 79. All those who are worthily partake of it. 8. Fasting. Periodic fasting can help clear up the mind and strengthen the body and the spirit. To make a fast more fruitful, it should be coupled with prayer and meditation, and it's a blessing if one can ponder on the Scriptures and the reason for the fast. 9. Friends. The fellowship of true friends who can hear you out, share your joys, help carry your burdens, and correctly counsel you is priceless. Ideally, your family ought to be your closest friends. Most important, we should seek to become the friend of our Father in heaven and our brother, Jesus the Christ. 10. Music. Inspiring music may fill the soul with heavenly thoughts, move one to righteous action, or speak peace to the soul. Elder Boyd K. Packer has wisely suggested memorizing some of the inspiring songs of Zion, and then, when the mind is afflicted with temptations, to sing aloud. This could also be done to crowd out debilitating, depressive thoughts. 11. Endurance. There are times when you simply have to righteously hang on and outlast the devil until his depressive spirit leaves you. While you're going through your trial, you can recall your past victories and count the blessings that you have with a sure hope of greater ones to follow if you are faithful. 12. Goals. Every accountable child of God needs to set goals, short and long-range goals. A man who is pressing forward to accomplish worthy goals can soon put despondency under his feet, and once a goal is accomplished, others can be set up. Explain that by using one or more of these methods, we can overcome sorrow, disappointment, despair, or discouragement. We can learn to overcome opposition. The Savior shows how to endure to the end. Poster. Present the following scripture on a poster. Unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 16. Chalkboard discussion. In what ways was the Savior's life difficult? List the young men's responses on the chalkboard. Answers could include the following. 1. Though a king, he was born in a humble stable. 2. He was born into a world devoid of modern convenience. 3. He was scorned by his own kinsmen and driven from his home. 4. He accomplished his mission without purse or script. 5. His own people had him put to death, yet he forgave them. Have the young men read the following. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Why do you think Heavenly Father withdrew from the Savior at this time? So he could accomplish his mission and endure to the end himself, as we must all do. Sometimes the test of endurance is prosperity. Scriptures and discussion. Have the young men turn to Helaman chapter 6, verses 9 through 17, and have them read the verses silently. What happened to these people who seemed to have all that they wanted and seemed so highly blessed? Have the young men read the following. 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 21. Explain that Nephi predicted the conditions of the last days. One of the great messages that the Book of Mormon has for our day is that prosperity often begets wickedness. Wickedness is a greater tragedy than death, pain, suffering, or any other condition of mortal life. Remaining humble and righteous in the midst of prosperity can be one of the greatest challenges in enduring to the end. Conclusion. Advisor presentation. Explain that through prayer and righteous living, we come close to the Lord so that when difficult experiences arise, we will have the strength to face them. We must always be watchful that the prosperity of our day does not cause us to forget our relationship with the Lord and the things in life that really matter. Challenge. Challenge the young men to set a goal for themselves to live in the celestial kingdom and center their lives on that goal. Challenge them to choose one or more of the points listed in the lesson from Elder Benson's General Conference address to help them overcome the problem of conflict that they wrote on their paper. End of Lesson 15, Enduring to the End.